And we start in Washington today, where there's surprising news from the Pentagon. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel stepping down.
He's the first senior Obama advisor to leave the administration since the sweeping Republican wins in the midterm elections earlier this month. And his resignation comes as the president's national security team deals with multiple foreign policy problems, including the fight against ISIS in Iraq and in Syria. President Obama announced Hagel's resignation this morning.
When I asked Chuck to serve as Secretary of Defense, we were entering a significant period of transition. The drawdown in Afghanistan, the need to prepare our forces for future missions, and tough fiscal choices to keep our military strong and ready. Over nearly 2 years, Chuck has been an exemplary Defense Secretary.
The president also said that Hagel was the first enlisted combat veteran to serve as Secretary of Defense. Hagel is a Vietnam vet who received 2 Purple Hearts. Washington Post reporter Greg Jaffe is a longtime Pentagon reporter. And first, Greg, we're calling this a surprise. Is it to you?
It was to me, yeah. I think it was a surprise to me. It seems to have been a surprise to a number of people in the Pentagon as well who work for Chuck Hagel.
Yeah, and do you think that there were specific policy disagreements between the president and the Pentagon, maybe over the fight against ISIS or in Afghanistan?
I don't think this was a dismissal because of specific policy disagreements between the president and Hagel, no. You know, I do think that there's some tension over how best to confront ISIS between the White House and the uniformed military. I think the uniformed military in particular sort of bridled at the no boots on the ground mandate. They tend not to like it when political figures or political leadership takes options off the table, and I think that was the case here.
So go into this just a little bit deeper then. What do you think caused Hagel to make this announcement?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I think we're still figuring it out exactly. My sense is that it was a not entirely his choice that the president felt like he needed to make a change. I mean, I think some of that is coming out of the midterms. There's political pressure coming out of there to look like you're making a change. I think some of it was the feeling, you know, that the Pentagon wasn't performing the way the president wanted, I'm assuming. And I would guess that is has something to do with providing, you know, policy options with regard to ISIS and other fights, other issues around the globe.
Well, and we were reading some reports today that maybe Hagel behind the scenes in the White House wasn't quite as forceful as he should be. What was his reputation in Washington?
Yeah, you know, he does not have a reputation as a forceful Secretary of Defense. You know, as you think of those, you think of Rumsfeld, certainly, which was a less successful example. Gates was certainly a forceful Secretary of Defense who's considered a more successful one. But you didn't get the impression that this was a guy who was sort of heavily involved in war policy debates. And I think that's something that as the ISIS war grew larger, harder, more complicated, that's somebody that the White House felt like it needed.
Well, let's talk about Afghanistan for a second, because obviously Hagel was a big part of his job was to figure out how to pull out of Afghanistan. Reports last week that President Obama agreed with the Pentagon that combat operations there should continue into 2015. U.S. troops would still be allowed to train Afghan troops, but they'd also be allowed to fight the Taliban and also al-Qaeda. But then again today, President Obama said that the U.S. combat mission is ending in Afghanistan this year. So can you catch us up to speed here? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of those initial reports, it's a confusing thing. And I think what the White House is trying to draw is a bunch of fine lines as well as the military. You know, I think the military in particular had wanted to be able to do close air support if Afghan units were under fire. They wanted to be able to use small numbers of ground troops and air power to help those guys and minimize Afghan casualties during the next fighting season in 2015 and 2016. And that's likely to be the big change that came out of that. And it doesn't strike me as a huge policy change, although it's significant. And I don't know what role Hagel played in that debate. My sense is not a particularly forceful one.
So when we look forward here to who will replace Chuck Hagel, what are we seeing?
You know, I mean, I think in Hagel you had a guy who was not a policy wonk, who wasn't sort of an expert on Iraq or Syria or Pentagon procurement or war fighting. And, you know, he was a politician and I think was chosen in large part because they wanted somebody who would have a good relationship with the Hill. My gut is that you go forward if you're going to make a change that, you know, you probably want somebody who's more comfortable with the Pentagon, more understands better how the Pentagon makes decisions and can force decisions on things like war strategy. So, you know, potentially you get somebody like a Michelle Flournoy, who would be the first female defense secretary if appointed. Right. She's somebody who was the undersecretary for policy before. She's somebody who really understands that building. If you go the other way, you know, the other name you hear is Jack Reed. He strikes me as somebody who would be more similar in Hagel in temperament and expertise. You know, maybe I'm just guessing, but to me that makes less sense if you want a big change.
All right. Thank you very much, Washington Post reporter Greg Jaffe. Appreciate the time.
Okay, thanks.
Let's bring in Ron Elving, senior Washington editor and correspondent for NPR. So, Ron, Greg Jaffe says Hagel's departure wasn't because of policy differences over ISIS or over Afghanistan. What's your take on what happened here?
If you listen to the first thing the president said today when he was announcing this departure, he said that when he first appointed Chuck Hagel 2 years ago, he knew he'd be managing a transition in the Pentagon. And the president need not have added, but not this one, not this transition. The transition they had in mind was to have Chuck Hagel wind down the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they wanted him to shrink the defense budget. And they were choosing a Republican in part because he was friends with the president from their time in the Senate on the Foreign Relations Committee, but in part because they thought he could better defend a shrinking of the defense budget and a winding down of those wars than a Democratic appointee. They thought he would have pretty good relations with Republicans in the Senate and that that would be a successful kind of role for him. It didn't work out that way, but much more importantly, what's happened is that now, because of ISIS, we are looking not at winding down our commitment in that part of the world, but at ramping it back up. And this is not something that Chuck Hagel has proven prepared to do, ready to do. His particular personality and his relationship to people in the Pentagon and to people in the Congress is just not strong enough to carry what has become a much heavier bucket.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We also heard Greg Jaffe say that there might have been friction between the Pentagon and the White House because the military bridles at the idea of no boots on the ground. That's what they do. That's their job. But we, as we just heard, President Obama is saying, even though there's fuzzy language around it, that troops in Afghanistan will be allowed to be boots on the ground. They will fight the Taliban. So it feels as if, that, as you say, that is the direction that it's going in.
Yes. And if you listen to General Martin Dempsey, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is the chief voice of the uniformed armed services, he is clearly uncomfortable with the idea that we would rule out putting in more combat troops or extending the combat rule of the troops that are there.
Yeah.
So if you listen to any number of people talk about the ISIS situation, whether they're suggesting that the troops could come from Turkey or suggesting the troops could come from someplace else, they all believe that sooner or later there have to be troops to actually engage ISIS on the ground. So it isn't just the Pentagon pushing back against the president's policies. There is a consensus that you cannot airstrike ISIS back out of existence.
Yeah. Well, now there's going to be a nomination procedure, and that dovetails nicely with some other week in political news we wanted to talk to you about, because Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas was on Fox News Sunday responding to the president's executive action, which would give up to $5 million a temporary reprieve from deportation. This, of course, was the big news going into the weekend. And here's Ted Cruz over the weekend.
Chris, I've laid out a detailed, systematic plan for what Congress should do. We should use the constitutional checks and balances we have to rein in the abuse of power of the executive. Step number one that I've called for is the incoming majority leader should announce that if the president implements this lawless amnesty, that the Senate will not confirm any executive or judicial nominees other than vital national security positions for the next 2 years.
Okay, Ron Elving, presumably the Secretary of Defense, first of all, would be a vital national security position. But do you foresee any gridlock over a nomination?
There could be a battle over the new Secretary of Defense, and I would expect that John McCain, whom we expect to take the gavel as the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, is going to use those hearings, whomever the president nominates. John McCain will use those hearings as a wonderful forum for his viewpoint and the viewpoint of many other people with regard to how we should be executing the war against ISIS. And so whoever it is going to have a really tough go. But in the end, particularly if you're talking about Michelle Flournoy, who is not only extraordinarily well prepared in terms of her experience and what she's been doing in the Pentagon, as we just heard a moment ago, but who is also and would be the first woman to be Secretary of Defense. And it would be very difficult to imagine the Senate denying her confirmation, no matter how those hearings may go.
A couple other things. There's new controversy over the Affordable Health Care Plan. The Obama administration reporting twice this year that enrollment had passed a target of 7 million. Now the White House admitting that number was inflated. 400,000 people, it included 400,000 people who actually just signed up for dental care. But there's that. And then there's John Gruber, the MIT economist and former advisor to the Obama White House. An old video surfaced showing him saying that the health care plan passed because it was crafted to be deliberately misleading and because voters are stupid. Howard Kurtz says there's been a virtual blackout in the story's reporting. North Carolina has now followed Vermont in canceling a contract with him. Do you agree that there's a political angle here, that the press is just not reporting on this as much as they would have if he was on the other side of the aisle?
It's a little hard for me to imagine how everyone knows about John Gruber if there's been a blackout in the media. If you do a Google search right now on John Gruber, you will have to take many days to go through all the listings of newspaper stories, television stories, radio stories that we've all heard about John Gruber. So blackout doesn't seem to me to be the accurate term. If he has been to some degree discounted by much of the media, that perhaps would not be too surprising either, given that certainly this is politically charged ammunition for the opponents of Obamacare. And that is an issue that's joined right now in the courts. It's certainly going to be joined as the new Republican Congress comes to office in January and begins to attempt to repeal Obamacare. So, yes, it's one more log on a very large fire.
Ron Elving, senior Washington editor, correspondent for NPR, on some of the news of the weekend and the news of the day. It's just Monday, Ron, we remind ourselves. But thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.